out the door without putting on the full armor of God.
Armor? Huh?
The enemy comes attacking, and we've got to be ready and prepared. Soldiers, are you ready?
Ready!
Attention! On our heads, we place the helmet of salvation, knowing we're saved today and every day. On our chest, the breastplate of righteousness, knowing we've got you inside us, Lord Jesus. Round our waist, the belt of truth, that we tell the truth all this day and have the truth in us. Our feet fitted with the readiness to spread the gospel of peace, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In one hand, we have the sword, which is the word of God, and we thank you for your word, Lord. In the other hand, the shield of faith, with which we can fight off all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we're ready to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We thank you, Lord.
Okay. Whew.
I'm a little out of breath because y'all don't see the camera on, but I'm sitting here dancing, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of truth, which is the word of God, the belt that girds the loins of my waist, helmet of my salvation, and the shoes of peace. So welcome again, Friday. I'm glad that you're here. Everybody gives me an amen to make sure this microphone is working. All right, so again, I'm glad you're here. Yes, I am doing a little bit better. Like I said, last week I had a little hard time getting through the message because, you know, with that tooth being cracked and had jagged edges and put blisters on my tongue and I couldn't hardly speak like I really wanted to. I had to go real slow. But boy, this week I'm doing good, so thank you for your prayers. I'm hoping that you're doing good. I've been praying for you. So again, you know, that was a cute another little song, The Armor of God, I found. It's still not the right one I think you're looking for, Lisa, but I found that one. It was a cute one. So that's going to kind of be our theme song for the rest of this series and messages that we're going through. And we're going through the whole armor of God. And our reading for tonight will be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 8. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 8. And like I said, folks, in our series messages that I've spoken on so far, and, you know, you go back and listen to them in case if you're having some connection issues or whatever. But we learned that we already have the helmet of salvation. And last week, which was the breastplate of righteousness. So in tonight's message, we're going to concentrate on another piece of the wardrobe located, again, in Ephesians chapter 6. Mainly, we're going to focus on verse 16, but we're going to read verses 10 through 18. But mainly verse 16 above all, which says, taking up the shield of faith in which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So if you got your Bibles with you, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10 through 18, and she's going to be posting them for you. So I'm glad that you're going to be able to get a hold of this. Start with verse 10, and it says this, my friends. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and the blood, but against principalities, against darkness, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, have girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, verse 16, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the best one I like to finish up with this, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen, amen, and amen. Let us pray. Father, we come to you for this short little time. Thank you for allowing us to have this technology together. Thank you for allowing us, folks, to be here today. They could have been elsewhere, and you know, and as I've been preparing for this message, and this one particularly tonight, you know, I can feel, you know, I'm not saying that I'm an expert, but I can kind of feel I was trying to get distracted, I was trying to get drawn away, I was trying to, you know, have all kind of things run to my mind, but you know what, you know, thoughts was running to me, but I'm going to disregard that because, again, according to what we're going to learn tonight, I can understand where this is coming from because you are the Almighty God. Nothing can get into our way and stand in our way as long as we have you within our presence, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have that power, we have that authority, and we know we can do what we can do. We just have to start believing it. So, Father, thank you for being with me giving me strength and healing me and taking care of some of the problems I was having from last week. I really love you, and again, I still give you the glory regardless of what's going on. Bless those who are here tonight. One couldn't make it here tonight. She's attending some sort of an event of singing for some kind of cancer rally or something. That's a good thing. So be with her when she presents the song and sings, because I know she's a little nervous. But again, we can do all things in Christ Jesus, which strengthens us. Again, Father, thank you for giving us the wisdom, the calmness, the knowledge, the strength that we need to go about every day in our Christian walk. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your kindness. In Jesus' name we all pray and say, amen. All right, let me get a sip here. Ah, yeah. Well, y'all know the title. Again, you know, you should know the title because, you know, each week there's going to be a title according to the armor of God. But the title tonight's message is The Shield of Faith. And like last week, as it says, as I've been going through the series, you know, yeah, I kind of learned a little bit what the whole armor of God was all about, what the other pieces were and what they did and stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, I skimmed through it. It was good enough for me. But then when I really started sitting back and thinking deeply and doing a lot of digging and research and reading and investigating and commentaries and this and that, you know, it became interesting to find out, man, you know, there's more to the armor of God than what I was taught or what from times past preached. You know, I kind of hit the highlights, and that's about it. But, you know, getting into detail, it's really fascinating why Paul himself is really using the illustrations of the armor of God, because, see, the armor of God is very important to our Christian life. It is. And as I've been learning, I hope that you've been learning as we've been going through this, that, yeah, you know, I didn't know that. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. Some things I found out tonight I didn't even know, but I had to think about it. So when we looked at our text that we just read, we see that we are instructed to, and I like the words that was illustrated right here, to take up these things. And when I look at that, you know, it's not pick up, it's not drag, it's not throw it on your back. It's not, well, you know, I'm going to get it here, but I move it there, and I'll get it there, and move it here, and pick it up, and move it there. No, we are called to take up these things always. And as I said, in another piece of our armor against spiritual warfare, this is what the shield of faith is all about. It's another piece of our warfare. We need the whole armor of God to fight what we are fighting out there. We dare not fight on our own power. God does that. But we as soldiers must wear that armor. And it's very important. And that's why we are called, again, my friends, to take up these things. Now, when we call this the shield of faith, we think about faith. Now, I don't know about you, but many people that I have talked to in the chat rooms, I have talked to in different churches, that I have talked to on the streets and, you know, and talked to in real life, you know, they make faith so complicated. I don't know if you ever encountered that, but they make faith so hard. And folks, faith to me is from people that I have talked to has been hard to define for many. But you know what? The truth of the matter is that faith is very, very simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. Faith is very simple. Faith is what you believe about God and His Word. And the more you know about God and His Word, the more faith you will have. You know, your mind is like a muscle, folks, so you got to use it, and you got to study it, and you got to feel it. That's why I said, as I've been learning about what the armor of God's about, it's been kind of really helping me see things in a different perspective. But I want you to know something, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. please, folks, don't take it this way. If you don't have a good knowledge of scriptures, you're going to have a very small shield to defend yourself. If you want your shield of faith to increase, and the reason why I'm saying this, folks, because a small shield makes it easier for those fiery darts to get to you because they don't cover much of an area. But if you want your shield of faith to increase, then, my friends, your knowledge of God and His words must increase. You get that? If you want that faith to be stronger in you, if you want to be stronger to help fight whatever that you're dealing with, if you want to understand what's going on in your life, if you want to understand what all is happening around the world, folks, you have to increase your knowledge in God, and you have to study yourself to prove yourself. And why I'm saying this, I love this passage right here. Romans chapter 10, 17 says this, and I love this. There's many scriptures. I've been reading a lot lately, and I'm starting to realize, like, man, I'm really seeing things in a different perspective. Because I've been going through a lot of stuff in the last several months. And I think that's where what was happening to me. My faith was being tested. My faith was being pruned. My faith was being stretched. My faith was being twisted. Folks, I can tell you, and my wife can tell you, you know, and I'm not just trying to, you know, point a picture to me, say, oh, you know, look at me, I've been going through all kind of heck. Look, we all go through it. But I'm telling you, I'm understanding now, because faith tested is not faith at all. But as I started digging down, I purposely put it into my heart that one Sunday, said, you know what? It hurts. It's hard. It's difficult. Struggles and pains and, you know, but God, I got to believe that you're going to do what you say that you're going to do. I purposely burned it into my heart. And we just got hit with another setback last week. We didn't even expect this. And I sat in the chair and said, oh man, not again. But I looked at the wife and said, okay, I'm not going to get upset. We'll deal with it. I don't know how, but we'll let God deal with it. Folks, your faith will be tested. That's why we must take up the shield of faith. And like I said, Romans 10:17 says this, and I love this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Part of our hearing, my friends, is for us to be in church. We must not neglect the assembling of ourselves among one another. Part of our faith is to be with other believers so we can hear and read God's words like we're doing here tonight. Part of our faith, we also need to read and talk about God in our homes, in our schools, in the supermarket, any place that we get a chance to do that. Do you do that? Do you just talk about God and faith just strictly when you go to church service, Bible studies, and that's it? Or do you do it at all? Do you do it all the time? I'm guilty of it myself. I have not, as I should have been. You and I, my friends, are ambassadors. We should be. We should be doing more. We should be doing more. And the reason why I'm saying this, friends, because sometimes Christians never even discuss God until they are in church, or basically when they're at a funeral or some tragic events. But most times, as I've been reading and talking to other people, they never bring Him up inside their homes or even outside of the homes. And we was talking a little bit earlier about what's going on in this world today. Look, God still has things under control, but we wonder why such immorality is going on. Because again, we as evangelical Christians are not doing enough as we should be doing. It's almost like when those wicked ones came out of the closet, we ran into those closets. Folks, it shouldn't be this way. We need to be like Jesus. We need to be more bolder. We need to be out there and presenting the gospel for people to hear and never be afraid to speak the truth. Never. Folks, it's very important when we do these things, we must have this armor, and it's very important to be into the Word of God all the time. Not sometimes, but all the time. Why? Why? Well, the main reason I'm going to tell you why is that Satan is shooting flaming missiles at you. That's right. He's shooting those missiles at you. And he's doing these in the forms of lies and accusations and temptations and deceit. And when those thoughts come into your mind, you need to be able to meet them head on with God and his word. And this is why the shield of faith is so important to us. Well, it's simple, isn't it? Isn't it? As I just said, those fiery darts are seducing temptations. That's all. That's what they are. Satan fires shafts of impurity, shafts of selfishness, doubts, fears, disappointment, lust, greed, vanity, covetousness. And folks, it all comes down to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He, my friends, literally bombards the believers with the arrows, the fiery darts of temptation that draws us out in ungodly, non-Christ-like evil responses. And the only defense that we have at this point, as Paul says, is the shield of faith. Because sometimes it just rains, and rains spiritual attacks. Man, it's just like it downpours on us. How about you? Come on, somebody say amen, because I know I'm being hit with it. It just rains. Folks, we live in a world where it really does. It's all around us. And we, you and I, must have the shield of faith to defend against them. Our shield of faith is not something that you and I just speak into an existence or strive in our own strength to hold up, because our shield of faith is faith in the Almighty God and not faith in our own strength. We have an enemy, my friends, who wants to stop us from entering into all that God has for us. No different than the other enemy that the children of Israel back then faced. See, folks, when you start digging into it and study it and look at the Word of God and read it and believe it and digest it, and as I've been covering a lot in Old Testaments lately, I've been seeing that God routed the enemies of his people in the Old Covenant. But let me tell you something here tonight, my friends. He is still the God that was back then, is the God today. He is still sitting on the throne, and he will rout our enemies as well. So what does God think of the arrows of the enemy? Look what Psalms chapter 2, verse 4 says. I love this one. I had a chuckle at this one when I read it. Psalms chapter 2, verse 4 says this: He who sits in the heavens laughs. You get that? God laughs at the face of the enemy. Now, what does he mean by the shield of faith? You know, when you see that, when Paul talks about that, why is faith a shield against spiritual attacks? How does faith parry the arrows? How does faith secure the victory? Well, first of all, let me say that the term faith means believing God. And that is the bottom line of the Christian's life. Faith means believing in the Word of God. And that should be your bottom line in your Christian life. Folks, the reason why I'm saying this, this is the bottom line of everything that you and I believe. Everything we hold on to. Everything we have our confidence in. Faith. So why is this shield of faith so real and important to us in our lives? Well, to me, it's fairly clear from verse 16. Remember, I said we're going to focus strictly on verse 16. And from verse 16, that the shield to be used by Christians in spiritual warfare, it's the shield that we have to use. Paul says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not some, not a little, all. And to understand what the shield is, it helps us to understand the other elements in this verse. And the wicked one is the obvious reference to Satan. We should know that. And the weapons he is describing as using here are typical of the type of weapons he prefers. Satan loves covert operations. He don't come at you frontal. You see, that's why it's always important taking up the whole armor of God. Satan will never attack you in the front. He's sneaky. He likes to hide. He wants to be in covert operations. He's looking for a weakness, and that's how he's going to attack you. That's why he loves covert operations. Though he is the prince of darkness, he masquerades, now get this, he masquerades as an angel of light. Be wary who you entertain, because again, we may be unwillingly entertaining angels, but be careful, because we know in scriptures, Satan loves to masquerade himself as angels of light. Slick little dog is he. Yeah, he's slick. You see, though his followers, they are wolves that appear in sheep's clothing. So these fiery darts are the perfect weapon for Satan. He can shoot them from far off. They can come in quick and without warning. They cause great pain and great damage if they hit the flesh. They can be sent one at a time or in heavy hails of arrows. So with all these things in mind, I think, my friends, that Paul's reference here to the fiery darts of the wicked one is the reference to the cunning and crafty ways the devil tries to tempt us in such attacks. And these attacks often come when and where we least expect them. That's how they usually come, when you least expect them. When you're standing here, you're thinking, oh yeah, I know how it's going to come. I know it's going to come in this direction. But you find out sometimes it comes as a blind side in another. They come in quick, and they come in without warning. So when we get hit, we fall to temptation. And the sin that results is often very painful and destructive. And these attacks can come, like I said, one at a time or in deadly hail all at once. So the only way we can defend ourselves is by having ready the shield of faith at all times. If we are always protected by the shield of faith, none of Satan's fiery darts can get through, whether he sends them at night or at day, whether one at a time or 100 at a time. Whenever they come, folks, the shield of faith can deflect them. And notice from verse 16 that more than just deflect these darts, the shield can quench them, snuff them out, make them inert, powerless. That's right. That's what it does. The shield of faith causes the flaming darts to lose their fire and their force. And it isn't just able to do this to some of the fiery darts, my friends. Oh, no. Oh, no. But verse 16 says that the shield is able to quench. Look at this now. Look at all the fiery darts, all the wiles of the devil. Do you get that? Hallelujah. And those wiles of the devil are the same thing as the fiery darts of the wicked one here, folks. The shield of faith can protect us from each and every one of those. But just as with all other pieces of the armor, this protection is not automatic. It's not. Just as we have to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the gospel, so also we have to take up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the helmet of your salvation. Now you think about that. How we can, as Christians, take up the shield of faith. How can we do that? First of all, in taking up the shield, we need to be reminded again that, like all other aspects of the armor, this piece also is from God's armory, not from man. It comes directly from God. And the idea that faith is a shield is everywhere in scriptures. But, oh, there goes a but now. But, with a small twist. For example, while I was looking some things up, look in Genesis chapter 15, where Abram believes God and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. We are told in verse 1 that God will be Abram's shield. God will protect Abram as Abram places faith in God. And we find the same idea throughout the entire Old Testament. This idea is found, my friends, at least 20 times alone just in the book of Psalms. 20 times in the book of Psalms. Over and over and over again, God, in whom we, you and I, have placed our trust in, is described as our shield and fortress, the one who protects us from the enemy. Here's just a few. Look in Psalms chapter 91, verse 4. God's faithfulness itself is described as a shield. Look in Psalms chapter 76, verse 3. And we read that God, oh, I love this one, breaks the arrows of the enemy. How about look? Let's just jump to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. We read that God is a shield to those who put their trust in him. That's just a few examples. So we've seen that little twist or surprise, even in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, where we go back and look at where Paul got this idea from, that's where he gets it from, he tells us to take up the shield of faith. But we learn by going back to the Old Testament. That's why it's very important, folks, to read the entire Bible. There's some out there who claims, you know what, I just read New Testaments and New Testaments only. I don't need to read the Old Testaments. I'm sorry, but you need to read all of the Word of God because, again, that is part of our armor, the sword of the Spirit. So what is that going to say? Well, you know, I'm just a New Testament. Excuse me. Oh, I got some water. See what I mean? He's trying to hit me again with a fiery dart, folks. Let me get that holy water and drink it. You see, what I'm trying to say, when some people kind of say, look, I don't need to worry about the Old Testaments. I don't need to read the Old Testaments. I'm just a New Testament believer only. Well, that's like them saying, okay, I tell you what, just give me half the sword. Now, how are you going to fight an enemy with just half of a sword? Come on. That is useless, like a soldier going in combat with an M16. Well, cut the gun in half and I just take the butt end up and you can throw the front end away. That gun's not going to do him no good. The whole Word of God is very important. So as I learned about the shield of faith, and we learned going back to the Old Testament, that the shield, my friends, and get this, I hope you may know it and may not, that the shield is actually God himself. And he protects us. And when we, as Christians, place our faith in him, he protects us. Now think about this with me for a moment, please. I told you that the shield Paul has here in mind here was like a wall or a door behind which the soldier hid. See, folks, the shield back then was considered to be the first line of defense. And so I don't know if you studied some Roman weaponry or not, but you saw, man, when those folks went into battle, they had those big old shields. And when the enemy used to shoot those darts at them, they just hold them shields up and bam, nothing can get through. You may have seen that sometimes when with riot police, they go to these towns and they got these big old shields. See, they deflect those attacks. And for the enemy back then to get to the soldier, the only way the enemy can do it, he had to get past the shield first. So with God as our shield, ask yourself, what have we to fear? Can anything get past God? Can anything get past God, folks? I'm waiting for an answer. No. Of course not. Nothing. So therefore, as Christians, we have nothing to fear from Satan or wicked men or future events. We have nothing to fear. God is on our side. And to get through to the other pieces of armor, the enemy has to get past God first. Now, if that is the case, and I'm going to present like a legal side of this, if that is the case, why do we still sin? All of us still do sin. So somehow you would think that the weapons of the enemy, the fiery darts of the wicked one, the temptations of Satan, do get through to us. So the question is, how? How? How does that happen? If God is our shield, well, then how do they get past him? Anybody has the answer? Well, Again, the answer is found right there in verse 16. Plain as day. I didn't realize that until I started putting this together. And Paul says, taking up the shield of faith. The only way a fiery dart gets past the shield, the only way a temptation gets past the protective shield of God, the only way we get wounded spiritually is, are you ready for this? Might blow your mind. Because we have not taken up the shield of faith. Wow. We have not taken up the shield of faith. We have let our guard down. We have dropped the shield. So the shield was the first line of defense against spiritual attacks. To get to any other piece of the armor or to get to the soldier, like I said, the enemy has to get past the shield first. The shield not only protected the body of the soldier, but it also protected other pieces of the armor. It protected everything. But in combat, there was one thing that the shield of this sort was really good for. The shields were excellent for protecting the soldiers from the arrows and the spears of the enemy. And the reason why I'm saying this, folks, because like I say, with the sin that hits us, temptation that hits us, you can't sit there and say, I don't sin, because I do. I know I do. And that's why I found it interesting, you know what, because I still have some doubts in my mind. So you see, as long as that shield is up and you're holding it up, not by your own power, mind you, it has to be by God's power, but as long as you're holding that shield up, my friends, nothing, and I mean nothing, cannot get through. But when we drop it, although we still have the other pieces of the armor on, we leave ourselves exposed to the darts. So when I saw that in verse 16, this is why Paul encourages us to take up the shield of faith. And he says in verse 16, taking up the shield. And folks, as long as we are placing our faith in God, no matter what our circumstance may be, no matter what's going on with our lives, if we place our faith in God, our shield is up. But when we begin to trust ourselves, look out here, when we begin to trust ourselves in our own strength, saying like, hey, you know what? I don't see nothing happening in my life. God, look like you're not even there. It looked like one attack after another. So you know what? I'm going to take care of this on my own. Whew. When you go in with that kind of an attitude, we drop our shield. And the temptation drops us where you and I stand. It's not by our own power. It is by faith in the Almighty God Himself. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. If you get anything out of this, the whole Christianity to me, folks, is an act of believing that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believing that he wrote the Bible. Believing that Christ is God. Believing that he died. Believing that he rose. Believing that he's coming. Believing that he is, or that we, by believing, we can enter into his kingdom. Believing in the truth, in the whole thing. Believing. Believing. Simple, childlike faith. And as I research this to close this up, that's why it says so in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, when it says, and I love this, the just shall live by his faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, the just shall live by his faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 says, if I had audio, you probably could repeat it. The just shall live by faith. And then in chapter 12 of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, he goes on to encourage us to live by faith, since we have seen so many go before us who lived by faith and done amazing things for God. And folks, most of all, as you and I, when we read the Word of God, and when we believe what it says, and when we act upon it, we, you and I, are living by faith. Though we do not see how our actions might affect the future, though we may not receive our inheritance right now, and though we might not, or we might go through persecutions and trials and nakedness and danger and sword, if we just put our faith in God, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, keep the sun in our eyes, as we, like Peter, keep our eyes on Jesus rather than the rolling waves around us, then, my friends, we will walk by faith. And as we walk by faith, we are keeping our shield up. And God, who is our shield, will protect us and fend off the enemy and will quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you want to be victorious in your Christian life, then like Caleb, who was over 80 years old and yet still went out to fight the fiercest opponents possible, we can take up the shield of faith. We can place our trust in God and go forward in victory. If your faith comes into question or you struggle at times, above all, put your faith into action and respond properly. You must pick up the shield of faith and trust in God and his promises. Pick up that shield of faith, folks, and trust in his promises. And when we respond correctly by trusting God, yielding ourselves and all we have to him, asking him to help us bear the pain and the hurts, then we experience firsthand the faithfulness of God himself. our shield is lifted high, when our first response is, and I've been saying this a lot lately, God, oh Father, I trust you. Father, I trust you. I trust you to bring me through this and to work this to my eternal good. And if you feel your faith is weak and wanting, remember that faith comes by hearing or reading the Word of God. And last but not least, for Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says this. I didn't know how to end this. I didn't know how to end this, but I ended with this note. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says this. Listen to the words. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Wow. Through the comfort of the Scriptures. With this, pick up the shield of faith and trust in God and His promises. Trust in God and His promises. Amen. Let's pray.